Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Ksuvos is daf Zayin. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learning with Zeichon Nishmat Chliba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are on the very bottom of Vav Amud Beis, and we're going to quote another Mishnah. Before quoting another Mishnah, let's just get ourselves into the sugya. Another classic daf coming up today. The discussion that started a couple days ago on Amud Beis is whether or not Bia Rishona can occur on Shabbos, on Friday night. The consideration is that with Bia Rishona for a Besula, there's going to be a Chabura, there's going to be a rupturing of the Dam Besulim, and you're going to have blood coming out. Causing a wound on Shabbos is a Malacha. It's a Chavala, as we pointed out already a couple of times. It's not totally clear which Malacha it falls under. Categorically, Rashi and Shabbos gives two candidates. Rashi says it's either the Malacha of Shechita, or it's the Malacha of Tzoveya. There's a third possibility. The Rambam says that it's Mefarik. Either way, causing a Chavala on Shabbos is a Malacha de Araisa. So when the man is having relations with his wife for the first time, so he's rupturing the Dam Besulim, so that ostensibly should be prohibited. In fact, the Braisa on Hamad Bey says it is in fact prohibited. One is not allowed to do so. The Braisa, be a little bit more accurate. The Braisa on Gimel Amud Beis says that it's also one is not allowed to do so. The Gemara quotes on Hamad Beis that there is a possibility. There are two arguments that you can make that it would be maybe it'd be okay. One possibility said the Gemara is that it's damif katpake, that really the way to view this sack of blood is that it is not embedded in the body, but rather it is contained in a sack, and all you're doing is just opening up the making a Pesach, making an opening and allowing the blood to come out, but it's damif katpake. And then it's a question of whether or not you're interested in Asiyas Pesach and whether you're mechaving for Asiyas Pesach and it's a davashen and miskaving, and that's one possibility. The other, Gemara lays out another possibility, which is that, no, the blood is chabur mechbar. It's really embedded within the flesh, and what you're really doing is you're extracting the blood, and it's like any other wound you would make on Shabbos, and still one can make an argument that it would be okay because maybe it's kilkel. Maybe you're doing so in a destructive fashion, and in doing so, one would be allowed. Again, that's a machlokus, whether or not kilkel b'chabura is asur mutar. Okay, so those are the two possibilities, and what we did yesterday over the course of yesterday's daf is we quoted a number of mishnahs. We quoted a mishnah in Nida, we quoted a mishnah in Brachos, in terms of whether or not one is allowed to have Bia Rishona on Friday night. Trying to make a diuk in the Mishnah in Brachos and in Nida. The Gemara did not make a conclusive diuk, so now we're going to quote another Mishnah. We find ourselves on the very bottom of Vav Amud Beis, and we're continuing where we left off yesterday. Mace of Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami asks a question based on a Mishnah. Could be this is not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa either way. No, it's an Adius, it's a Mishnah. Hamepis Morsa B'Shabbos, if you squeeze out a pimple on Shabbos, so Im La'asos La'Pech Chayev. So if you're interested in making a pen opening, so then you would be Chayev. Making an opening, what does that mean? So you take a look at Rashi over here, Im La'asos La'Pech Rashi, Shemiz Kavin Li'afosa. V'liyos La'Pesach Ze Li'om Machar. So Rashi over here says that you want to make a Pesach, you want to make an entrance, so that pus would come out and air would come in. If you take a look at Tosfos, Tosfos actually writes that Beferish. Tosfos says, the Pesach ze asuya lahachnitz ula hotzi. In other words, the Pesach, by definition, has to allow for traffic go in two directions, both for things to come out and things to come in. So the thing coming out, obviously, is the pus, but the thing coming in is air, Tosfos writes. Just reading the Tosfos. It's a short Tosfos. So lahotzi lahachnitz avir lahotzi lecha. Okay, exactly. Tosfos says that the pus is coming out and the air is coming in. So if your interest is making a Pesach, and by the way, you see Rashi, I know I read Rashi already, but you see Rashi says Lamachar. Rashi says, and that Pesach is going to be there for the next day. What's Rashi doing over there? He's anticipating that we know a little bit of Asiyas HaPesach. In order to make anything on Shabbos, so it has to last for a while. Anything which is temporary is not an Issa D'Araisa. It has to last for a while. Generally speaking, the cutoff for that is 24 hours. Generally speaking, a knot that you make on Shabbos, 24 hours. All right, that's the shear of something which lasts for a while. So over here, if you're making an opening and your interest is to make the opening and it's for 24 hours, so then the Mishnah says that that's prohibited. However, im lahotzi mimen alecha, but if your only purpose is to extract the pus from that, so then potter, so then it would be okay. Now, generally speaking, another Rashi, take a look at Zayin Amud Aleph, the very top Rashi. Generally speaking, the word pater means that it's not okay. Pater usually means pater of al asr, that it's still rabbinically forbidden to do so. Rashi over here quotes the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, where the Gemara says that's generally the rule, that the word pater means pater of al asr. There are three occasions, the Gemara in the beginning of Shabbos, Daf Gimel, it's very easy to remember. Daf Gimel, three occasions. There are three occasions where pater means pater umutter. And this is one of them, where one is allowed to extract pop a pimple in order to extract the pus. And again, if your intention is to extract the pus, so then it's fine. So Gemara now is basically making a simple observation. If you're allowed to squeeze a pimple in order to extract the pus on Shabbos, so then there'd be a Rishon on Shabbos where you're essentially doing the same thing, so that should be okay. The Gemara draws a distinction. Hasam.
It's only if you hold the... that the blood is in a sack, but not if it's a...
Well, blood. Right, and also, it's interesting, because the Brisa that we just quoted says that if you were interested in Lasos La Pesa, then you'd be Chayev. Mm-hmm. It could be, I mean, the Gemara doesn't make this point, but, you know, you could just have just as well said, like the Gemara said in yesterday's Daf, that even with Dan Besulim, really, maybe your chief intent is to Lasos Pesa, to create some sort of opening, but okay, either way. The Gemara draws the distinction between the two. One on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph, Ha Sam Pakid VaAkir, Hacha Pakid VaLo Akir. So the Gemara says we can draw a distinction between the two cases. In the case of the pus, so really the pus is meant to come out. In other words, it is localized in a particular area, and by nature it is interested in coming out. However, right VaAkir, if you take a look at Rashi, Kulo Menabaser VaOmed Latzeis. That's what it's doing. It's separate from the body, and also it stands to come out. However, over here by the Dan Besulim, Pakidhu Velo Akir. Rashi writes, Legamri Ella Nivla Ksas Beksalim. Even if you maintain the position of Dan Mifkat Pakid, that it's localized in a region, but still, it's somewhat embedded in the wall. Afa Pishen Mechuba Kashar Dam Haivarim. It's not like the other blood of the body. Ella Kenos, it is collected in an area, it's reservoired in an area. It's not like pus, it's not like ready to come out like pus. So therefore the comparison between the Dan Besulim and the Lecha that we just described in the Mappis Mursa is not exactly the same. So the Gemara says, so one cannot draw a conclusion based on that Mishnah. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Mishnayot. So where do we stand now on this issue of whether or not Bia Rishona can occur on Friday night? Where we stand is, we don't know. Meaning, the Gemara argued in yesterday's daf that you can go in one of two directions, either it's us or mutter. If you remember in yesterday's daf, we quoted Rav and Shmuel. What did Rav say? Well, it depends where you lived. If you lived in Rav's community, you said that Rav said it was mutter. If you lived in Shmuel's community, you said that Shmuel says that it's mutter. Okay, and fine, that's what we said yesterday. So where do we stand on this issue? So more Gemara to discuss the halacha. Rabbi Ami shar lemivah b'tchil b'shabbos. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Ami allowed for bia to occur on Shabbos for the first time, meaning on Friday night. So Rabbi Ami says that it's fine. Seemingly it's the same Rabbi Ami who tried to draw the inference from the Mishnah Nedius that we just quoted, but okay, he says it's fine. Amalei Rabbanan Ba'alo Ksivasa. So the Chachamim say, you know, I that's fine, I have a technical problem, and that is you didn't write for her Ksuva. Okay, this little bit of Gemara is a little tricky. Our minhag nowadays is to write a Ksuva prior to the marriage. Okay, they in fact at the Chassan's Tish. Okay, Hedy, I know you don't know what that means, but the the it's fine. It means before the wedding. So the chasen's tish. We don't write the ksuva. The ksuva is written beforehand, but we sign the ksuva at the chasen's tish. The ksuva is written before the wedding. So for us, this question of the Gemara seems a little bit strange. Our minhag is not to wait until they're married to start writing the ksuva. Okay. Back then, apparently, from the Gemara, it seems pretty clear that they didn't write the Ksuva right away, and they wrote the Ksuva. It seems odd. I'm just going to point out the obvious from the Gemara. They wrote the Ksuva more or less when they had Bia Rishona, even if the wedding occurred 2 or 3 days earlier. That's strange, but that's essentially what it sounds like from the Gemara. Okay, so here's the problem. The problem is, now Friday night, you want to be a Rishona with your wife. Problem is, you don't have a ksuva.
Right.
And as we know, there's an Issa Durabanan that one is not to be with his wife without a ksuva, without having written a ksuva. How do you write a ksuva on Shabbos? You can't. You're not allowed to write a ksuva on Shabbos. So that's the question the Chacham imposed to Rabbi Ami, meaning Rabbi Ami, from the halachic challenge of Chabura. So you say it's not a Chabura. For whatever reason you want to say, that's fine. But what about the ksuva? So Amrle Rabban Bahalo Ksiva Ksuva. So Amrlu Atvasu Matatalin. So the answer, just as interesting, the answer is, okay, so you know what you do? So you take some items. What do I have over here? I have a couch, I have a CD player, whatever. I have some items, they're worth some money. So you know what? Take those items as a security against the ksuva. So in other words, you're right, we're not going to write a document right now, it's Shabbos, but what we'll do is, I will designate items that will secure the obligation of the ksuva. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, in fact, that exactly that. Tenula metatal and tachas yada. So give her some movable items, bimashkon. And it serves as a collateral. L'shibut ksuvasar. Securing the ksuva. Achichtvushta ksuvasar. B'shibut karkos. And then later on we'll write the formal ksuva. Now usually what secures the ksuva? Property. We're going to be discussing that over the course of this Masechta a lot. Metalton usually is not securing, but over here it's a stopgap measure, meaning it's Shabbos. We're not writing a document and we're not securing property against the document, but what we'll do is we'll be Mishabed Metaltalin. And yes, it's a strange Gemara in that usually you don't do any type of Kenyanim in Shabbos. You're not allowed to do any type of Mekach or Memkar in Shabbos. And over here, he is securing properties against the ksuva obligation on Shabbos. The Rishonim are bothered by that question. I'm just going to raise it and we're going to move on. But it's something to definitely think about. Rav Zvidcha Sharla Mivah B'Tchil B'Shabbos. Continuing when the Gemara, Rav Zvid allowed to be a Rishonim to occur in Shabbos. Igid Amir Rav Zvid Gufeibal B'Tchil B'Shabbos. And then the Gemara tells us, somewhat indelicately, that Rav Zid himself had Bia Rishona on Shabbos. Rav Yehuda Shar Lamiva B'Tchil B'Yom Tov. Rav Yehuda allowed for Bia Rishona to occur on Yantav, meaning on Erev Yantav. So Amara Papi Mishmed Rav Alotema B'Yom Tov D'Shar HaBishabbos Aser. Now the Gemara says, now don't jump to a conclusion that, oh, you know what? The heter for him to have done so is only limited to Yantav and not to Shabbos. Do I didn't Dafila B'Shabbos? That's not true. Even on Shabbos it would be okay. Not, I'm sorry, Dafila B'Shabbos not Mishari. It just happens to be anecdotal. That's when the incident happened. But the truth of the matter is that it would have been fine even on a Friday night as well. Rav Papa Mishmei de Rav Amar B'Yom Tov Shari B'Shabbos Asim. Rav Papa says no. Let's draw that distinction that there is actually a difference between Shabbos and Yantiv. So Amalei Rav Papa, Rav Papa, my daitech. So Rav Papi and Rav Papa now get into an exchange in terms of why do you think there's a difference between Shabbos and Yantiv? Why would it be that Bia Rishona would be acceptable on Yantiv, but not on Shabbos? Mitoch shehutra chabur letzarech huchana mishalo letzarech. So the Gemara says, do you think that the only reason, the reason that one would be allowed to have Bia Rishona on a Erev Yantav, but not an Erev Shabbos, is based on the principle of Mitoch? So let's review, let's remind each other. The Gemara in Beitza and Daf Yud Beis introduces to the concept of Mitoch. Okay, we know that on Yantav, you're allowed to prepare food on Yantav. Okay, what's called Ochel Nefesh. So you're allowed on Yantav to cook, to shecht, and to do some of the final stages of food preparation in order to cook and bake food on Yantav. Some of the earlier food preparations you're not, I should say rather, most of the earlier food preparations you're not allowed to do on Yantav. Right? There is a Tosus over there in the beginning of Masechta Beitza that says only Melisha Ve'elech, only from kneading and onward, and the Sidur de Pas you're allowed to do, but you're not allowed to do the earlier stages. Okay. But you're allowed to do the later stages of food preparation, which include lighting a fire, and cooking, and baking, and kneading, and shechting an animal. You're allowed to shecht an animal on Yantav. So that is the basic halacha. Then the Gemara in Beitza on Daf Yud Beis introduces to a concept of mitoch. What is the concept of mitoch? Mitoch shehutra letzarech, hutra na mishalo letzarech. That these malachas that you're allowed to do for food preparation, you're allowed to do for other enjoyments and benefits on Yantav as well. For example, you're allowed to cook water in order to drink the water. You're allowed to cook water on Yantav if you want to, let's say, wash your hands of the dishes with warm water. Okay, so that is the best principle of mitoch. You're allowed to carry on yantif. So in other words, I can carry food from one location to another. I can also on yantif carry other items, meaning not food items. I can push a stroller on yantif from one location to another without the benefit of an eruv. That's the principle of mitoch. There is a lengthy discussion. Tosus right here. There's a Tosus and Beitza also, and Daf Yud Beis discusses it. Tosus right here. I'm just going to mention it, but not going to get involved. When we say the concept of the principle of mitoch, does that mean that I can do any action I want on yantiv using the principle of mitoch? Meaning, for the malachas that were permitted on yantiv for ochal nefesh, and the principle of mitoch which extends and allows me to do those same malachas for non-yantiv activities, do they have to have any yantiv need whatsoever, or even if it has no yantiv need? That's a major machlokus amongst the Rishonim. Tosus over here discusses it, as does Tosus and Rashi back in Beitza. Just mentioned it. But in the meantime, however, what the Gemara now wants to argue is the following. We have a principle of mitoch. What does mitoch allow you to do? Mitoch allows you to... What does ochal nefesh allow you to do? It allows you to shecht on yantiv. What's the principle of mitoch going to extend it to? Well, if I can shecht on yantiv, so then Bia Rishona can occur in yantiv as well. Bia Rishona is a chabura, and a chabura is... Right, is a tolada of the malach of shechting. Now, if you remember the beginning of the shir today, I pointed out that it's not totally clear which tolada is chabura. From this gemara over here, it seems pretty clear that, at least the way the gemara is presenting it, that chabura is a chavala, is a tolada shechita. Okay? But now, notwithstanding, the gemara says, and that would be the argument why Bi'er Rishona could occur on Yantiv using the principle of mitoch. So my daitech, let's go back to the gemara. My daitech mitoch shurcher chabur l'tzarech uchadam yishol l'tzarech elamiyata motalasos mugmar b'yantiv. So the gemara says, if you're right, so why don't you allow mugmar on Yantiv? Now mugmar, let me try to describe it. I've never seen it before. But apparently what they did back in the good old days is that after cleaning a garment and pressing the garment, so they wanted to make a good fragrance in the garment. So what they would do is they would take some sort of incense, they would burn the incense, and they would lay the garment right over the incense in order to infuse a good smell into the garment. Okay, like kind of like a deodorant for clothing. Okay. It's like that. So the Gemara says, why don't you allow Mugmar Yantav? Now the Gemara is assuming that we all know you're not allowed to do Mugmar Yantav. You're not allowed to burn incense in order to infuse the aroma into the clothing. That's prohibited. Gemara says, why not? Why is that prohibited? We have a principle of mitoch. The mitoch shoshav alatzarch uchanami shalotzarch. You're allowed to make a fire on Yantav. Parenthetically, I'll just point out, I'm sure we all know this, that you can't start a fire from scratch on Yantav. That's a Issa Derabanan, but you can transfer fire from one to another. Okay, close parentheses. Anyway, you're allowed to make a fire on Yantav for cooking. So if you're allowed to make a fire on Yantav for cooking, so aren't you allowed to be involved in this activity of Mugmar? So the Amalei Allah Hamakrach Asher Ye'achel Lechol Nefesh. So the Gemara says, no, Mugmar is prohibited. I'll explain to you why Mugmar is prohibited. Because the Pasuk, in its allowance, when it allows us to do these Malachas and Yantav, it has to be Ach Asher Ye'achel Lechol Nefesh. It has to be where every soul can benefit from it. Davar Shavel Lechol Nefesh. Something which is Shavel Lechol Nefesh. So, and Mugmar is really it's done by the elite. Correct. Rashi, I don't know what you said, but I do know that Rashi, the way Rashi describes him, mefunakim, right? People, okay, good. We're saying the same thing, just different languages. But it's something which is not enjoyed, appreciated by everybody. It's true on Yantav you're allowed to cook. It's true on Yantav you can use the principle of mitoch. But it has to be for something which is beneficial for all. So Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Ravla Rav Ashi Lamiata Nizdam in Lo Tzvi B'Yom Tov Hol Ve'Enu Shav L'Chol Nefesh. So the Gemara says, what if you trap a deer on Shabbos? Venison. So everybody eats deer. Hachinami Da'asla Mishchate. What do you want to tell me? You know, everybody enjoys chicken. Everybody enjoys meat. Red meat. But deer, which I guess also is red meat, but not everyone enjoys deer. So Amalei Ana Davar Tzarech L'Chol Nefesh Kamina. Tzvit Tzarech L'Chol Nefesh. So the Gemara says, no, you're confusing the two ideas. When it comes to deer, you're right. Not everybody eats deer, but everybody would enjoy deer. In other words, it just happens to be that it's a commodity. It's not that common. But if you put it in front of anybody, anybody would enjoy it. But apparently when it comes to mugmar, that's not something that everyone even appreciates. It's only people, only a small percentage of people appreciate mugmar, and therefore it doesn't fall under the category of davar hashav l'chol nefesh. And so therefore mugmar is not permitted. A couple hundred years ago, the question started with the poskim, can you smoke on Yontif? Right? On Shabbos, obviously, you can't. That's Havara. You're not allowed to smoke on Shabbos. It's a Daraisa. Are you allowed to smoke on Yontif? So what's the argument? The argument is mitoch, meaning I can light a fire in order to cook, so I can also light a fire in order to inhale these wonderful fumes into my lungs. So the early poskim said, absolutely, sure, it's no problem whatsoever. Why? So they argued, because it's Davar Hashav L'chol Nefesh. You have to. I know. I'm aware, but you have to read the Torah Tamima. Torah Tamima usually Torah Tamima. You know, it's really a great resource. Torah Tamima. It's the he's a nephew of the Netziv. He's a son to the Aruch HaShulchan. So he writes a. He writes on every pasuk in Chumash. He writes where you're going to, you know, the Gemara, the corresponding Gemara to that pasuk in Chumash. So it's a great resource. So anyway, so and underneath it, he writes his own commentary to every one of the Gemaras. So so on the pasuk of Ach Asher Yechol Nefesh, so he writes that you're allowed to smoke on Yontif. It's no problem whatsoever. He says it is Davar Shav L'Chol Nefesh. And then he writes, you see some people when they first take their first, they inhale their first smoke, so you see them coughing and gasping for air. He writes, that's just because they're not used to it yet. But wait till they get used to it. They're going to love it. I'm not a my job over here is not to pasken. That's not what I'm here for. So, but I don't think many people nowadays is going to really argue that it's davar hashav l'chol nefesh, right, and in general, you can even ask the more fundamental question: should anyone be doing it altogether? So, okay, anyway, but. That's it connects with the mugmar discussion. Fine. So we got into this discussion because what the Gemara brought is a debate exchange between Rav Papa and Rav Papi whether or not we can make a distinction between Shabbos and Yontif as it relates to Bia Rishona. So maybe the argument is Bia Rishona is okay on Yontif but not on Shabbos because it's only allowed operating through the principle of Mitoch. And it goes without saying, I mean Rashi says it, just to make the obvious point, and Bia is a shavel chol nefesh. That's something which everyone enjoys. So the so maybe that's the reason that you can make a distinction. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Ra'idi Hori Rabbi Yochanan Mitzaydan Asa Levol B'Tchel B'Shabbos. Okay, so we quote a number of Amorayim on the top of our Amud, Zayin Amud Aleph, that says that it's permitted to have Bia Rishon on Shabbos. They are, if I can remember correctly, Rabbi Amin Rav Zvid. So now the Gemara is going to quote on the other side, other Amorayim who go the other direction. And they say it's prohibited. So Amar Rabbi Yaakov, just rereading, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Ra'idi Hori Rabbi Yochanan Mitzaydan Asa Levol B'Tchel B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to have Bia Rishon on Shabbos. Now the word hora'ah is strange. The Gemara wants to make an argument right now that when you say hora'ah, you don't have to have a hora'ah, a ruling, a psak that comes out to Isser. It's a fascinating Rashi. I'll just paraphrase it, but I encourage you to read it inside. Rashi basically says, look, if you're going to be machmir, anybody could be machmir. I could be machmir. Meaning, what does machmir mean? It means I don't know the halacha, so I'll err on the side of caution, and I'll just simply tell you it's Isser. Not because that's a ruling, just simply because I'm erring on the side of caution. When you give a hora'ah, when you're giving a ruling, we are basically saying, I know the halacha, I'm confident that this is what the halacha is, and you're ruling in a particular direction. So what the Gemara is saying over here is how could we use a hora'ah, the term hora'ah, to describe that it's prohibited to have Bia Rishon on Shabbos. So the Gemara says it, and the Gemara says, I hear you, but it's not unusual. We do see the word hora'ah used even in a case of chumrah. Gemara gives a couple of examples. Va'atanan harua beisilo shetei nezira ot sheva shanim acheros. Hilni Amaka dedicated herself to becoming a nazira. A nazir. For 7 years, she made this commitment outside of Eretz Yisrael. Then she went into Eretz Yisrael. And she observed the 7 years of Naziris outside of Eretz Yisrael. And then she came into Eretz Yisrael and she asked Beis Hillel what she should do. And Beis Hillel said to her, got to do it again. And when we get to the when we get to the Gemara Nazir, we'll understand why it is that Beis Hillel had her serve another 7 years of Nazirus. As to the fun question of can a woman become a Nazir, which is just, it's great. You want to really... You want to make someone feel like they are not they're not they don't know much Torah, so ask them the question: can a woman be a Nazir? And watch them hem and haw. It's a pasuk in Chumash. The isha or isha, the a man or a woman. A woman can absolutely become a Nazir. So anyway, the inami. And by the way, the reason why we brought this up is because Horu Beis Hillel. Even though Beis Hillel was being machmir, you see the term haru. The Gemara gives another example. Inami kihad de tanya chut asher drusha nifsek berubo divrei Rabbi Yaakov. I'm sorry, divrei Rabbi. Rabbi Yaakov amar afilu nikev. Machlokus in terms of a spinal cord. How much of a spinal cord needs to be severed in order for the animal to be rendered a trefa? Do you need a majority of the circumference to be severed? Or even if it is just a nekev, even if it's just a piercing, a hole that goes to the spinal cord that would render the animal a trefa? Machlokus between Rebbe and Rebbe Yaakov and... Hore Rebbe, I feel a nekev, Hore Rebbe, ki Rebbe Yaakov. And then Rebbe ended up ruling like Rebbe Yaakov. Rebbe Yaakov was machmir. And there was a hora like Rebbe Yaakov. So you see the word hora even applies to a chumra. I'm Rav Huna, ain't halachic Rav Yaakov. And Rav Huna says the halacha does not fall like Rav Yaakov. Rav Nachman, Yitzchak Masni, Hachi, I'm Rabbi Abau, Shav Rav Yishma ben Yaakov, the Minsur is Rabbi Yochanan ben Sidon, Va'ana Shim'i Mao Levo Betchil B'Shabbos. So we are now wrapping up this discussion. Is one allowed to have Bir Rishona on a Friday night? Va'amale Asar, and his response was that it's prohibited. V'hilchasa. And the Gemara concludes, and the Gemara says, "Motel levol b'tchil b'Shabbos," that you're allowed to have via Rishona on Shabbos. Ad Khan, that is the end of the entire sugya.
Why did the Brisa say that? Why did the Brisa say the opposite?
Yeah, again, it's no. The Gemara, no, the Brisa is espousing an opinion. The Brisa is not telling us what the final halacha is. The Brisa is an opinion. I mean, the Gemara has already told us a number of times that's a machlokus. It's a machlokus.
How did it make that decision that is what the halacha is based on? What logic?
Yeah. So that right. That's a perfectly good point. And I saw also that this was a discussion in terms of why it's mutter. So we now after having gone through the last two blot of Gemara, so there's a number of possibilities in terms of why it's mutter. So it could very well be that it's mutter because the mekalka b'chabura is pater, and pater over here means pater or mutter. It could be that it's a davishena miskavin. It makes a big difference in terms of why it's okay. Because by davishena miskavin, remember what we said over the last couple of days, the davishena miskavin is only going to be a valid argument only because it's not a psik reisha. Because there are people who know how to engage in atayah. If you remember the Gemara, just give me a moment. The Gemara asserted the other day that a good number of people know how to engage in atayah. So even after the Gemara conclusively said that it's mutter, but if it's based on davishena miskavin and you argue that we don't know how to, we're not bekim in hataya, so then it's a davishena miskavin, which is a psik reisha. So yes, it's true. In other words, even after the Gemara conclusively said that it's mutter, but one could still make an argument that maybe the halacha would be that it's not mutter. Right, it's a psik reisha lo nichale. Right, that was a Gemara. That was Tosfos' discussion yesterday. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara itself is very clear in terms of a conclusion. The Gemara says mutter. Okay. Amar Rebbe Chelbo, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Abba, Barzavda, Amar Rav. Achas Besulav, Achas Amanatuna Bracha. Okay, the Gemara segues beautifully now into the discussion of Bracha. We know that when a husband and wife get married, specifically for the first time, although we're going to be discussing some variables on this halacha, so there is bracha. There are additional brachas that are made. What we're going to refer to is mostly is birchas chasanim. Birchas chasanim is what we colloquially refer to as sheva bracha. Sheva brachas at the end of the chasna, right, the end of the meal. So what happens is that we, unfortunately, most people are not to be found at the end of the chasna, but what should be happening is that everyone should be there at the end of the meal for benching, And at benching, of course, comes also Shever Brachos, where we bestow brachos on the Chassan and on the Kala. Tomorrow's daf, it's a beautiful daf tomorrow. Please come back. Tomorrow's daf is going to be an actual description of all the Shever Brachos that are said at a wedding. And you're going to see Rashis, a lot of Rashis tomorrow, that describe the Shever Brachos in depth. And Rashi is going to give a simple pshat on all, or most of the seven brachos. Okay, so so what we're discussing right now is, so how long a period in time do we make these Sheva brachos for? That's our Gemara. So let's just read again. Achas besula v'achas amanatu nebracha. So whether it is a besula, the man's marrying a besula, the man's marrying an amana, it's going to be a little bit strange, by the way. The Gemara is not going to be referring to a grusha. Okay, a grusha is going to be conspicuously absent from our Gemara. Now, one can imagine that the grusha's halacha is going to be the same as an amana, but again, I saw that there, that also resulted in a discussion amongst the Rishonim. But okay, the Gemara here is going to be discussing a besula and contrasting that with an amana, with a widow. So, achas besula, achas amana, tuna brachas. So the Gemara says they both need sheva brachas. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have another statement by Rav Huna that says that an amana does not require bracha. So lo kashi kam bebachura shenasa amana kam beamon shenasa amana. So the Gemara tries to draw a distinction. The Gemara says, well, it depends. If the groom has never been married before, so bracha, meaning sheva brachas. If the groom is somebody who's already been previously married, so then no sheva brachas. That's what the Gemara is trying to argue right now. So the Gemara says, but that's not true. V'amon shanasa amana, lo v'amar Rav Nachman, amar lihuna, barnasan, tana minayin, lebirchas chastanim, ba'asara. The Gemara says, how do I know that when you make sheva brachas, you need a minyan? You need 10. How do I know that that's true? End of the pasuk. So the Gemara quotes in Rus, fourth and final parak of Rus. So what happens? So after a proposal that maybe Ploni Amoni should marry Rus, Ploni Amoni said thank you, but no thank you. So Boaz says, okay, great, I'll take advantage of the opportunity. So he marries Rus, and what does he do? He assembles 10 people, and they make Sheva Brachas with these 10 people. And the Gemara says, based on those Pesukim and Rus, we know the halacha is that you need 10. And the Gemara says, now, you see that it went without saying that they needed that there were Sheva Brachos, and the Gemara points out, and the Gemara says, and we know the background, Rus was a widow. I mean, that's in the Pesukim. The Gemara says Boaz was a widower. Now Rashi says, now we don't see that in the Pesukim. Nowhere in Sefer Rus does it tell us that Boaz was a widower, but Rashi says, but we also have a tradition that Boaz and Ifson are one of the same person. If you don't know who Ifson is, don't feel so bad. You need real Bekias in order to know that. He's mentioned in Shoftim, and really briefly. He's one of the Shoftim. The couple Pesukim dedicated to Ifson, so it's not a... it's not a prominent shofate, in other words, at least in terms of real estate. He doesn't get a lot of psukim. But meanwhile, what do we know regarding Ifson? That he had 30 sons, 30 daughters. The Gemara Baba Basra relates that Ifson and Boaz are one and the same person. So, based on that, we know that he was married previously. So, and the Navi says that his children died. And I guess by extension, we assume that his wives died as well. Okay, either way. Point is, he was a widower, she was a widow, and yet there were sheva brachos. So, back to the drawing board. So now we're saying that there's a distinction between a besula and almana. And the Gemara now points out, can't be that there's no sheva brachos. We know the sheva brachos, even if both the groom and the bride are widower and widow. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ino tuna bracha, damar avuna, ino tuna brachos kol zayin." So the Gemara says, fine. Everybody needs Sheva Brachos, and the only issue now is the duration of Sheva Brachos. How long do Sheva Brachos need to last for? So if we're talking about someone who's already previously been married, so Sheva Brachos only one day, meaning the Chasna. That's it. In terms of somebody who is new to this, and has never been married before, Sheva Brachos for 7 days. So Allah Ad Tanya Shakti Chochama Tachanos Benos Yisrael Shehei Sameach Ima Gimel Yamim. So the Gemara says, okay, but do you remember what we learned a couple days ago? That when a widow gets married, she gets married on a Thursday. And the Gemara said, made a special point to say that the marriage is on Thursday and the Bir Rishon occurs when? Thursday night, Friday. Why? So the Gemara says so that he takes off of work the next day. So the halach is that he should be with her on Thursday and on Friday. On Shabbos, he should have 3 days dedicated to his new wife. So the Gemara says, well, if the groom himself never has been married before, so we need Sheva Brachos for 7 days. And if the man has been married previously, so we said the halach is that you only need 1 day of Sheva Brachos. So the Gemara says, so where's this 3 days? Where does that come from? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says like this. One answer goes as follows. Sheva Brachos is for 1 day. Meaning, if he's been married previously, so he only needs Sheva Brachos for 1 day. As far as Simcha is concerned, so that's 3 days. What does that mean, Simcha? It means take off of work. Meaning, give yourself a vacation. And when I say give yourself, meaning the halacha demands that you take a vacation for 3 days. 3 day honeymoon with his wife. But in terms of Sheva Brachos, that's 1 day. That's one possible distinction. So, or another way to say it is that if the man has never been married before, so then Sheva Brachos. But as far as the woman is concerned, still she needs a little honeymoon with her husband. So the Simcha, his time off of work, is going to be for 3 days. Okay, basically, if you will, just a good way to think about these halachas, the Sheva Brachos is primarily for him. So in other words, if he's never been married before, so Sheva Brachos for all 7 days. If he has been married before, so then Sheva Brachos for 1 day. And then in terms of the wife is concerned, so what the consideration for her is that Simcha. In other words, he's got to take time off. So if she's never been married before, so she needs Simcha, and presumably Simcha for 7 days. If she's already been married before, so then three days of Simcha. Meitzvei. We're on the top of Zayin Amud Beis. Mevarchin lebesula shiva la'amana yom echad. The Brisa says that for the besula it goes 7 days. For the amana it goes 1 day. My love, afilo amana shenisa sabachor. So the Gemara says, now, the Brisa doesn't specify, but it stands to reason that even if the amana marries the bachor, and still in that case it's only going to be yom echad, the Gemara says, lo la'amon. No. Bryce is talking about where she married Amon, then Sheva Brachos is going to be for 1 day. Avala Bachor, my Shiva. So what are you telling me? That if the Amana marries the Bachor, so you mean to tell me then that Sheva Brachos for 7 days, Yahachi, listen to Mevarchan Lebesula, Shiva, Amana, Shanisa, Sabachor, Shiva, Olamana, Yomachan. So the Gemara says, so why does the Bryce say that? The Bryce could draw a very simple distinction. That when the Besula, for the Besula, it's for 7 days. For the Amana, who marries a Bachor, it's 7 days. And for an Amana, meaning if the Amon marries an Amon, it's 1 day. So, Milsa Psikta Katani, Deleka Besula, Debatsu Mishiva. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we wanted Milsa de Psikta. In other words, the Braisa wanted to say something which was an absolute. And what's an absolute is that when you have a Besula, so it's always going to be seven. Veleka Amona Debatsu Miyomechan. And when it comes to an Amona, which is not less than 1 day. So in other words, the Brisa wanted to speak in absolute, so that's why the Brisa didn't qualify. Okay. Gufa Amar Rav Nachman Amar Lihuna Barnas Antana Minan Leberchus Chasani Be'asar Shenemar Ve'ikach Chasar Nashim Ezikna Ha'ir V'yomar Shivu Po. Okay, so we go back to the halacha that when you say Sheva Brachos, you need a minion. You need 10 men. How do I know that? So one source comes from Sefer Rus, the fourth parak. Rabbi Abba Amar Me'acha. Rabbi Abba says, no, it comes from a different source. B'makelos Baruchu Elokim Hashem Imkor Yisrael. Pasuk in Tehillim says that B'makelos, you need a kahal. Usually, generally speaking, a kahal is a reference to a minion. So you need a kahal. And Rashi quotes the gzeirah shavah, the double gzeirah shavah. But kahal is a reference to a minion. So you need a minion when mimekor Yisrael. The word mekor over here is an allusion to a marriage. Mekor over here, in the simple pshat, the pasuk has nothing to do with marriage, but from a standpoint of Jewish, Makor is a reference to the uterus, meaning that they're going to get married, they're going to have children. So it's a drasha. You could darsh in the halacha from the pasuk of Bemakilos. V'Rav Nachman b'Haikra de Rabbi Abba my darish base. And the Gemara now is going to go into its classic exchange. What is each Amora going to do with the other pasuk? So what are we going? What is Rav Nachman going to do with Rabbi Abba's pasuk? Mi ba'al lechad tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, mi nayin shafilu ubrim shebemei iman amru shira al hayam. How do I know that when we went through Kriyas Yamsuf, not only did we sing, the men, the women, the children, even the fetuses sang. Okay, now what exactly that Gemara means? All right, understood on a particular level. So the Gemara says, but even the fetus is saying, "B'makelos baruch hu Elokim Hashem mimakor Yisrael." Even from the makor, even from the uterus, so the fetus is inside. We're singing the idach. By the way, so interesting. Meaning that I can't use this pasuk for a halacha because I have a drush to learn from this pasuk. Right, normally when the Gemara goes in, it's back and forth in these circumstances. In other words, usually I can't learn out that halacha because I'm learning this halacha.
Amen.
Right, it's like halacha, halacha. Over here, I can't learn out a halacha because I need to learn it for drush. Okay, so I don't know how often you find that. Just pointing it out. So the Gemara says, if it were just for the drush, so the pasuk could have said the word beten. The fact that the pasuk says makor means al iske makor, meaning peru revu, it has to do with marriage. Okay. Rabbi Abba by krad Rav Nachman and Darish Bey. Now, what does Rabbi Abba do with the pasuk of Rav Nachman, meaning the pasuk in Rus? What do you do with that pasuk? Homi bailei lemidrash amoni v'lo amonis moavi v'lo moavis. What he did is he expounded that what Boaz wanted to broadcast to the community at large is that you're allowed to marry Rus. I know she's a Moabite, but she's a female. So male and female are allowed to convert. We've just gone over this in Yevamos. Male and female are allowed to convert, but who's allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael? The female allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. The pasuk says, Lo yavo Moavi v'amoni. I think I mixed it up, but you get the point. So the pasuk says you're not allowed to marry them. That the pasuk's only talking about male, not female. So that was up for controversy. That was a debate. And what Boaz wanted to do was assemble 10 men to broadcast and to publicize the halacha. It shouldn't be controversial. The halacha is that you're allowed to marry the female convert from Moab. The Isaac adach lebracha. And if the only reason why Boaz assembled everybody was just for the purpose of bracha. So lo sagi love zakenim. So the Gemara says he didn't need to get zakenim. Zakenim were gotten to make sure that people knew the halacha that you're allowed to marry a female convert from Moab. So the Gemara says, okay, and what's the counter argument? You don't need 10. You need 10? So the Gemara says, in? The Gemara says, yeah, you absolutely, you do need 10. Lefrasumay milsa. Gemara says, you absolutely need 10 because he wants to publicize it. 10 is a great way to publicize it. And the Gemara gives another example where we find that 10 people were assembled in order to publicize Allah. Uchadam alayshmullah, Rav Chana Bagdasa. Rav Chana Bagdasa was told by Shmuel, poke v'aisili bay asara. Get 10 people together for me. The emelecha b'anpayu, and I want you to teach them the following halacha. The following halacha needed to be broadcasted. Hamazakala ubar kana, that if you create a kinyan for an ubar, so in other words, this child is not born yet. So it's a davisha lo bala olam. Now, generally speaking, when we talk about davisha lo bala olam, we're talking about the object that we are making the acquisition for. Here, right, we're talking about the person. We're talking about the one who's receiving the item. So he's a davish lo bala olam, he hasn't been born into the world yet. Can he be kona? So Shmuel says yes. And he wanted to make sure, it obviously was a controversial issue. He wanted to make sure that everyone knew about it, so he assembled 10 people in order to make sure that everyone knew that this is a halacha. And then, ironically, the Gemara says, parenthetically, Ve'ilchasa hamizaka le'ubar lo'kana. By the way, this says the Gemara, you should only know that the halacha is, it's not a kinyan. So, but the Gemara brought this up just to show us that, yes, 10 people are assembled in order to be mefarsim the halacha. Tanur Rabbanan. Mevarchim Birchas Chasanim beBeis Chasanim. So the halacha is that you make the Birchas Chasanim where? In the Beis Chasanim, in the house of the Chasan. Simple pshat of the Gemara is that where do you make Sheva Brachos? When you're in the home of the Chasan. Of course, Minhag Yisrael is... doesn't matter who's hosting Sheva Brachos, usually the Chasan and Kala, first of all, usually don't even have a home right after they get married. But the Minhag Yisrael is that wherever you make Sheva Brachos, you say Sheva Brachos. Okay. Anyway, the Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ape Beis Ha'irusin Mevarchin Osa. Rabbi Yehuda's position is that you make the Bracha Sheva Brachos even Beis Ha'irusin. Even at the first stage of marriage, a kiddushin, Amar Abayi. So Abayi goes on to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Uvi Yehuda Shanu. Not to get confused, we're talking about the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, and we're talking about the province of Yehuda. Generally speaking, Israel is divided into two sections, north and south. North is generally referred to as the Galil, and the south is referred to as Yehuda. Right? So when Rabbi Yehuda said that you make Sheva Brachas during Erusin, that was specifically talking about in the area of Yehuda, the southern area, where there they had a minug. It was accepted or kind of, you know, lo michu bam lachachamim, in other words, wasn't shunned, but anyway, they had a minug where the husband and wife at Erusin were b'miyached, where they were secluded with one another, and of course that meant that they would have beer with one another. Shemit, the Gemara says, Mimnei Shemis Yachinima. So there, since they were with one another, so therefore in the province of Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda says that you make Birchas Chasanim, that's talking specific to a time where the husband and wife, even though they only went through Erusin, were miyached with one another. Okay. Tan Yiduch, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Mevarchim Birchas Chasanim Beveis Chasanim Birchas Erusin Beveis Erusin. Okay, this brisa says very clearly that the Birchas Chasanim, what we call Sheva Brachos, that's done obviously after the second stage of marriage, meaning at the Chasna. And as we learned in the earlier this morning, during the 7 days of Sheva Brachos. And Birchas Ha'erusin is said Bebeis Ha'erusin. And when you go through Erusin, so you make a bracha for Erusin. My Mavarech, so what bracha do you make? Ravim baravada varava baravada tarvaimishmed ravyuda amre. This is a nusach bracha that you make. And it goes like this, bracha tashav lakin mechalam, asher kedishan memisosav, zivana al harayos, vasolanu as arusos, vitilanu as anesuos, aide chupa vikidushin. Okay, so the Gemara gives us almost the entire nusach of Birchas Erusin. Should sound familiar, that's what we say at Erusin. Remember, nowadays, like we discussed in the beginning of the Masechta, we conflate Erusin and Nisuin. They both occur at our weddings. So the Birchas Erusin you're going to hear before the reading of the Ksuva, and then after the reading of Ksuva, then obviously Sheva Brachos. Rav Achibre, the Rav Misayim, Ba Mishmed, Rav Yudah, Berchat Hashem, Kadesh Yisrael, Yideh Chupa V'Kiddushin. And then what's the conclusion? So the Gemara says in the name of Rav Yehuda, there's a Siyam, there's a Chasima. So Mekadesh Yisrael, Yideh Chupa V'Kiddushin. So Mandalo Chasim, Yideh Dehavei. Now, the Tanakama, who didn't have a Chasima, why didn't he have a Chasima? Because it compares it to Birchos Peros. V'abirchos mitzvos. They're short, they're truncated brachos, and therefore they don't have a chasima. Oman dechasim midah dehava kiddusha. And the one that does insert a chasima, he says, no, it's much more comparable to kiddush. Kiddush, we know, has a paragraph and then has a chasima at the end. So too, the birchos erusin, much like Kiddush, is going to have a paragraph and then have a chasima at the end. So it's a machlokas in the Gemara, whether or not it has a chasima or does not have a chasima, we insert a chasima. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow, I'll pick it up. We'll answer a simple question. Well, we'll go over tomorrow in terms of the actual nusach habracha. Okay, we'll stop over here. Rabbi Chanan Menachashim Azrach Bachel Zakh Zolficha, Erban Tor Mitzvah Shalom Anachavetz Amantzikoy Yadil Tor Viadil.